you are here for a reason.
This news just in.
Ready? Go, go.
We are your news now. Right on radio.
For continuous coverage, the latest information, separate fact from opinion. Get the truth.
Get the news.
You're listening to Right on Radio. You are here for a reason.
Hey, welcome to Right on Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Happy Palm Sunday to you. Yes, this is the day that the Lord rode in triumphantly on a donkey. And although, you know, you might say that, well, maybe we should do that chapter. There's no mistakes in the Lord's timing, and I think you're going to see that this chapter actually parallels that in many, many ways. And, you know, when Jesus rode in on that donkey on that Palm Sunday, it was the foreshadowing of the fulfillment. And in this chapter, we're going to see a lot of fulfillment. But I must admit to you, when I originally, I always look forward to, you know, what's next. I read the next chapter and just kind of get it in my mind. And I thought, oh, this chapter's a breeze. I'm going to do the whole chapter in one shot. And then I got to the last three verses. And the best laid plans of man are no good. So I don't know how far we're going to get, but let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word. I thank you for the privilege of broadcasting your word. And I thank you for the privilege of this community of the body of Christ in which you've knitted together. Lord, that we can uplift each other. We can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. And Lord, that we can go out into the world and spread your good news as we are called to in your great commission to us. But Heavenly Father, we are nothing without your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit does the teaching today. I pray the Holy Spirit does the interpretation for each person individually, Lord, that you'll speak directly to each one's hearts. Lord, I pray for health in this community. I pray for your provision in this community. And I pray for an increased measure of faith in you, Jesus, in this community, and that we may shine your light out to the world and bring more into the salvation of Christ. For there is nothing that compares to the salvation of Christ. There is nothing more valuable in this world or otherwise than the salvation of Christ. Holy, 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 we cry out to you and we give thanks and adoration. Hosanna, my Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. As always, I'm going to read, for the first time, I'm going to read the entire chapter, just so you have context of it. And the way we choose to study here is that we want to get the master principles and, you know, the major precepts that are in the chapter. We can't do every single word because we'll never get through the Bible. However, I encourage you to go deeper. And if the Lord gives us a second round in going through the Bible, then hallelujah, we're going to go deeper. But I just want to, each chapter is divided. And I think in some cases in the Bible that the divisions between chapters are misaligned, and that's just my opinion. It doesn't mean it's true. However, each chapter is really self-contained for the most part. And we want to find why God put these chapters together and in the order that he did. And in this case, he used Matthew, who didn't put it as a chronological order necessarily, although some of it is, but Matthew put it in a logical order. And, you know, the Lord chose the book of Matthew to be the gospel according to Matthew to be the very first book of the New Testament. And I think that's, there's something to be said for that. And there's certain things in this book of Matthew that are covered in great detail, more thoroughly than other ones, but yet Matthew is one of these guys who really did not focus on the details. He just kind of gave you the greatest hits, you might say. And this chapter is certainly one of them. And just to, as a refresher, in the last chapter, Jesus was giving his disciples instructions to go out two by two and to preach in the world. And, by the way, greetings to those of you on Facebook. We've got 6 on Facebook. I've got 1 on Twitch even. Not sure about DLive or Tumblr, but welcome. Welcome to the study. If it's your first time here, please subscribe. Let me know what you think. Chapter 11. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, while in prison, John heard about the work of Christ, and he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or are we to look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. Those who are blind receive sight. Those who are limp walk. Those with leprosy are cleansed. And those who are deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is any person who does not take offense at me. As these disciples of John were going away, Jesus began speaking to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, the one who is more than a prophet. This is about whom it is written. Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen any one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been treated violently, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah, who was to come. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to other children and say, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a song of mourning, and you did not mourn." For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a heavy drinker, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." And yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Then he began to reprimand the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in you had occurred in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And if anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal him, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is comfortable and my burden is light." Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. coming to earth and speaking these words from the flesh and from conquering death, Lord, for resisting all temptation. Thank God we didn't have to rely on any of us to become the Christ. Wow. Wow, I just looked at the chat. Good morning from Alaska. Good morning, Alaska. Thank you for being here. What an honor it is to have you with us. So Jesus finished giving instructions, then he went out to preach in their cities. We go to chapter 2, and I'm not going to cover in depth the reasons why John is in prison, because we're going to get there. But essentially, John is in prison for accusing the king of adultery, essentially. So John is being locked up on his no compromise view of sin. But John was in prison, and he had heard about Jesus out there, and he sent word by his disciples. And the disciples came up to Jesus and they asked, "Are you the coming one, or are we to look for someone else?" And you have to remember, in the culture of the day and the culture today in the synagogues, is they believe that Jesus is going to come as this mighty, the Messiah, I should say. I shouldn't even say Jesus. They believe their Messiah is going to come as a mighty conqueror, a politician who's going to give them, you know, win over and give war and all this stuff. And they missed the scriptures about the suffering servant who was to come, quite honestly. And they conflated it with the second coming, the first coming and the second coming. And that's why many, many people with that belief system are going to fall for the deception, because their Messiah, the one they've been expecting for all these years, is going to show up, and he's going to do exactly what they thought he would, and that's restore riches to them and essentially give them power. But the irony is, these people who are waiting for that Messiah to come largely are in charge of the world and have all the power and the wealth. So they didn't need the suffering servant to come. Remember the one who said to the rich man, who just, "Lord, Lord, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven?" He says, "Go and sell all your stuff. Follow me." It's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Wow. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and what you see. Those who are blind receive sight, and those who are limp walk. Those with leprosy are cleaned, and those who are deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And so those are all fulfillments of scripture that John would know about. And then you have verse 6, and I can't help but notice, you know, I'm not really into numerology and stuff like that, but God clearly is. God is a God of patterns, and he puts some stuff in, and often when we get to the sixth verse of a chapter, it's something about man. Number six, it happens. And then seven is usually about God and perfection. And so verse six is interesting. It says, "And blessed is any person who does not take offense to me." Well, who would take offense to Jesus? The world? Most of the world? Jesus did not come to bring peace. Jesus is the great dividing line where you can't sit on the fence. It's one or the other with Jesus. And most of the world is offended by him. You know, when you just think of all these other religions and practices that are around the world, and by the way, that's the difference. They are religions. This is faith. And I've said it ad nauseum on this broadcast, but it's helpful to realize the difference between religion and faith. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. It is impossible. God won't let us. Look at the Tower of Babel. Faith is God came to us. And that's why we're the only faith. It's the only one where God has literally come to us, and he's actually left his Holy Spirit here for us on earth in this new covenant. But all of these other religions and people who study, you know, some people will study a little bit of Kabbalah, a little bit of Buddhism, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and they say all roads lead to God. All roads. You just have to clean yourself up. Live a good life. Where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the gatekeeper. Jesus is the door. He says it even further on in a different way in this chapter. But that is offensive to most of the world. Most of the world would like to think that, and this is, by the way, even the atheists who claim they don't believe in anything, well, they've believed the original lie in the garden, that they are gods. If there's nothing above you, guess what? You're God. So Jesus is highly offensive, and blessed is the person who does not take offense at me, says Jesus. Then he goes to talk about John. Verse 7, as these disciples of John were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. And I love what he says here, because listen, John was famously, you know, and people, as it says later on in the chapter, they said he had demons. He's out in the, living in the wilderness. The guy's eating bugs. You know, he's fasting, he's praying, he's proclaiming, he's doing all these things, and people would think he's mad. But Jesus starts talking about John, and he asks the crowd, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" And let me just say this, that when a reed shaken by the wind, that's a metaphor, and you could be easily applied to most politicians today. You know, they lick their finger and stick it up in the air, and they say which way the wind is blowing. What are the polls saying that I should say? They'll just go with whatever they think people want to hear. Then he says in verse 8, but what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Obviously, John the Baptist was not dressed in fine linen living out in the wilderness. He says, those who wear it are, you know, they're in king's palaces. But then in verse 9, he says, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet, and he was. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And by the way, that's in Malachi in the third chapter. So right before, it's the end of the Old Testament, right before the New Covenant. And when I say right before, you know, it's estimated that, you know, it was written about 400 BC and God was silent in between those years. Jesus continues, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Why would he say, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist? Please tell me, I'm asking the question. Because Jesus was born of a woman. Oh, I get it. But Jesus wasn't a natural birth, like he didn't have Joseph as a father. It was an immaculate conception. Maybe, I don't know. I just couldn't figure out that verse. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. So he's saying John is the greatest dude ever, greater than all the prophets before him. Greater than them. Why? Because he has the privilege of making the way for the Messiah. But anyone who is in the kingdom, which is Jesus, Jesus is the kingdom. No, even though he that is the least in the kingdom is greater than John. It's a foreshadowing of what we are going to be when we dwell with him with our new bodies. Hallelujah. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom has been treated violently, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah, who was to come. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear. So I had to look into this thing about Elijah, and I'm trusting other people's efforts here a little bit, and they bring out scriptures and stuff like that and some commentary on it. But at least myself, I'm convinced that what he's saying here is John has the spirit of Elijah. Because it was prophesied that in the day of the coming of the kingdom, the spirit of Elijah would arise. And John has the spirit of Elijah, is what Jesus is saying here. But it seems to be one of those prophetic words that is a dual prophecy. So it has an immediate fulfillment, and then it has a later fulfillment. And the immediate one in this case was John having the spirit of Elijah making way for the Messiah. But I believe the second fulfillment, and most scholars think this, so, you know, maybe I'm just jumping on the bandwagon, but when you study the scriptures, it seems to play out that right before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, his second coming, there will be the two witnesses. And most likely, it's going to be Elijah and Moses. And boy, are they going to be hated by the world. Verse 16. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a song of mourning and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking. And they say he has a demon. And they did. They thought he was crazy. He has a demon. And then Jesus says, and the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Because, of course, why? Remember Jesus said, why would you fast when you're at the banquet feast and you're in the presence of the bridegroom? And they say, behold, a gluttonous man, a heavy drinker, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. We have to understand what wisdom is. Well, the best definition biblically of wisdom is fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And why he's making the ploy about children here, you know, children are like sponges. And some kids are easier to teach and more open than others. But kids, in general, will rely on their parents to feed them. They'll rely on their parents to clothe them. They'll rely on their parents for protection, for guidance, for teaching. And what Jesus is saying here is he is all those things. Rely on him for your food. Rely on him for your paycheck, not your boss. Rely on him for your protection, not your security system. And he's really saying, this should be the celebration of a lifetime. And to those who had ears to hear and eyes to see, it was. But then he gets into the very troubling section. And by the way, it's really worth noting in these next four verses about the unrepenting cities that this is prophetic. He's not saying to the descendants of Chorazin or Bethsaida, maybe you got a chance. He's saying, no. Woe unto you. And he compares it. He says, you know, with all these miracles and you didn't repent. All these things, you did not repent. That was a great show. Jesus, hey, all right. The guy can see again. Hallelujah. Right on. He must be a great prophet. Next. They didn't repent. And yet Jesus' message was repent. And then he says, for if the miracles that occurred had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. So these two cities, you have to understand, these cities were involved in Baal worship. Like they were bad. These were the bad neighborhoods that you didn't want to go to, or, you know, it's like, and I'm sorry to pick on some cities, but, you know, there's certain big American cities that you do not want to walk down the streets in, like Atlanta, for instance. You don't want to walk down the main street in Atlanta, you know, Peachtree, or, you know, certain sections of New York or Chicago. You know, these were bad cities, but Jesus is saying, if I had gone there, they would have repented. You didn't. And you know what this says to me? Jesus really came for the lowly people. He really did. In fact, he goes on to say this later. But he says, you're going to these cities, they're going to be brought down to Hades. And then he goes on even to say, for even if the miracles that had occurred in you had occurred in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than it will be for you. Was Jesus offensive? Do you think he offended the crowd when he says, you unrepenting fools, you're going to go to hell. You're going to Hades. But Jesus knew their hearts. He wasn't wishing that they would. That's why Jesus went there to preach. And is every person in those cities doomed to hell? No, of course not. No, some of them accepted his message, repented, and followed him. So after saying those harsh, harsh statements, Jesus says, come to me. And can I just say this? There's a few times, no, I don't know the exact number, but there's a number of times recorded in the Gospels that you hear Jesus praying to the Father. And if you could just hear Jesus and Father God having a conversation, do you think you'd put your ear to it and listen to every single word and pay attention to what he says? Because that's what's happening here. Jesus starts to talk to the Father. and we're granted permission to hear the conversation. And Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was pleasing in your sight. All of these things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal him. There's a lot there. First of all, and do any of you remember the new goggles series I put out? I think one of the most profound things that really came out in that series was the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this speaks to it. You know, the Holy Spirit lives to glorify Jesus, and Jesus lives to glorify the Father, and the Father lives to glorify Jesus. And here's the example of Jesus saying, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now listen to this, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. Wow. Jesus is praising the Father for hiding these truths from the wise and the intelligent. Now make no mistake, the Lord is not telling you to not study and not learn the things of this world and not to do things. But I think, first of all, the intelligent man, you know, the thinking man, I don't believe in that, you know, religious stuff, that Jesus stuff. You'd have to be insane to believe that story. You know, science has proved, they will say. And I think that's the way for centuries everyone would have understood this verse. But I think in the last couple of years, in particular, maybe in the last few decades, we have a much greater understanding of this now. There are those that think they know all the secrets of the world. They call themselves the illuminated ones. They pass down their knowledge of the mystery schools, generation upon generation upon generation, for thousands of years. And I put this question out to you. Did Jesus, was he talking about these people as well? Did he have them in mind when he spoke these words? And when you look at the word wise and intelligent, if you want any biblical references, well, Solomon, the wisest man on earth, the richest man on earth. And Solomon knew God, yet he pursued other gods. And you know what? At the end of all these things, the great summation of all of his learning, the wisest man on earth said, "It's nothing but vanity." So there's nothing wrong with being wise and intelligent. However, unless you are able to humble yourself and say that you are not God and Jesus is God, the truth will be remained hidden from you. But who did he reveal it to? He revealed it to the infants. Now he's not talking about, you know, less than 1 year old kids, or less than two, wherever you draw the line on infant. He's saying those who are willing to say, "I'm not God. Lord, you are my provision." And just like that child, "Lord, I depend on you for my clothes, for my security, for my food, for my family. All these things are of you and by you." And then 26, "Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight." I just want to, people, again, this is one of those ones like a couple chapters ago where Jesus said, "I came as a sword," and people take it out of context. See, Jesus is pleased that a lot of people are going to go to hell, they will say. No. And that the scriptures do not contradict themselves. The will of God that none should perish. And he makes sure that his word is proclaimed throughout the earth so that every single person has the opportunity. And if some expire before they're at age, or if the gospel never reached them, God is just and God is fair. We know that. But why would it be pleasing that the truth would be hidden from certain people? I think it's so obvious. And a lot of people would be stuck on this. And in fact, I looked, and Bible commentators don't even want to comment on this. And it's so obvious, at least to me. Maybe I'm wrong. It's so his word would be fulfilled. How do we have this, the world fall into one world, false religion, into one government? How do we have all these wars and pestilences and stuff like that if there was no evil in the world, if everyone just chose Jesus? The book wouldn't come true. And quite honestly, it'd be before the fall. And the Lord let the fall happen so we, made in the image of God, can choose Christ and not have it forced upon us. So to me, it's obvious that is why it's pleasing in the Father's sight. And so his word will be fulfilled. And verse 27, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal him." Out of the thousands of years that this world has existed, in the 2,000 years since Jesus said these manifest in the flesh, do you ever consider what a great statement this is, that God chose to reveal it to you? And if you're not born again, it's being revealed to you right now. Get born again. Choose Jesus this day. If you're not sure how, talk to one of us on Telegram or on Twitter, or send me a note at writeonjeff@gmail.com. I'll tell you how. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna finish up this chapter, so I don't want to just leave three verses. This is so powerful. I really could do a whole show on this. But taking the major master principles and the different precepts. So in this chapter, the master principle to me is fulfillment. So that all these things will be fulfilled. Verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, I think pretty much every one of us came to Christ through adversity. Again, if it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle, the path is narrow, but wide is the gate to destruction. And those who their life is just seemingly perfect, well, why would they need God? I'm sure there's a couple, you know, but it's rare. It would usually be through some kind of adversity that people would choose Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So essentially everyone, no one goes through this thing, this fleshly experience in this world, without being weary and burdened. I don't care if you're the richest dude in the world, or if you got this and that. Nobody goes through life without being weary and burdened. So let's just establish that first. But then Jesus says, I will give you rest. What does that mean? It's a curious statement. When you study the Bible, one of the golden rules is when you want to know about something that the Lord is saying or what God is saying, you want to find the very first time it is used in Scripture. Because the first time any particular word is used in Scripture, God usually gives the greatest definition of that word. And of course, the very first time that the word rest is given is in Genesis, in the creation story. And it was on the seventh day, God had finished his work, and he decided to rest. So what does that mean, to rest? Do you think God was tired? His body was physically, oh man, that was, you know, putting the sun and the stars and stuff like that was draining. No. He was at rest. Now listen to this. Because it was fulfilled. God was at rest because it was fulfilled. And what Jesus is saying here, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened. Your life could be beating you down. Maybe the bills are piling up at home. Relationships falling apart, all this weight upon you, the stresses of life, no matter what situation you're in, Jesus is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. Because Jesus is the only one who can do it. And why can he do it? Because it has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. And if even death has no sting, what can this world throw at you that Jesus cannot handle? Too many people, and listen, there's nothing wrong with seeking out a friend or anything. I do this all the time. Listen, just on Friday, I sought out a friend. I'm like, I was hurting. But eventually I got around and went to Jesus. And he gave me rest. My friends couldn't. They could pray for me. That probably spurred me to finally go and give it to Jesus. After exhausting all of my methods. And what does Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Quite the contrast from the Messiah that many in this still world are still waiting for. He's not going to be humble. He's not going to be a suffering servant who washes the feet of his disciples. So what is his yoke? A yoke is like, you ever see two horses pulling a carriage or something like that? Well, the horses are yoked together. And the equivalent would be to be yoked with Jesus. If we come to him, Lord, I'm hurting. This is too much for me. I'm out. I'm at the end of myself. I can't do it. I've tried. I failed. Lord, help me. Jesus puts his arm around you. He brings you in close to him. You can feel him with you. He says, come, my child. And you'll find rest. Because no matter what the world throws at you, you might be panicked because you don't have enough money for food. And there's a lot of you who are struggling month to month, week to week, day to day. The Lord is saying, get down on your knees and pray to him. Let him provide for you. But it takes your faith. Because the way is not religion and your attempt to go out and reach God. The way is faith. If I go to God with my burdens, He's promised to come and yoke up with me and walk me through it. And when you realize that through your faith, that is where you find rest in your soul. And what is your soul? That's you. You know, you have this fleshly body. You have your spirit, which is the God-breathed life into you. That is our communication tool with God. But your soul is you. And he says you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your emotions, your intellect. Why are you worrying about all these things? Why are you so sad because this happened or that happened? Go to Jesus. He's calling you. You'll find rest. And this is staggering to me. He says, my yoke is comfortable. And can I confess to you? First of all, I'm a sinner. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not preaching to you from higher ground. I'm just another sinner saved by his grace. And as I say often, and I mean it, I'm worse than most of you. But I do fear the Lord, and I do love his word. Those are true statements. But he says, my yoke is comfortable. And if you have anything in common with me being a sinner in this world, sometimes going to Jesus is not easy to do. Because Jesus is that great dividing line. And just, he says his burden is light. Well, light also exposes darkness. And when we go to Jesus, our darkness is exposed. And sometimes I run from him because I'm ashamed. And it's just me working out my own crap. But eventually I do go to him. I'm getting better at it, actually. Much better. I hope you are too. But when you actually do go to him, and yes, your sin is exposed. Yes, he puts his arm around you and he loves you. And it is comfortable. You know that you belong. And you belong to him. Because if you want to be in the kingdom, guess what? You can't be in the kingdom without a king. So this chapter, to me, is all about the fulfillment of the mandate and faith. You and I need to believe that he is who he says he is, and that his promises are wonderful and true. He really does love you. And he's given you the power to go out and love others as well. Hallelujah. Hey, on Friday, if you missed the broadcast, I had asked, you know, I said, if you really want to hear the word of the Lord and stuff, we need to spend more time in the word. And of course, I encourage all of you to be the Berean. Trust no man. Look up these things for yourself. You need to read the word of God for yourself. don't just rely on Jeff reading to you on Sunday or whoever you might listen to else. You need to look at it yourself. And one way to get fed is Wendy has volunteered to share the verse of the day. So it's just one verse, sometimes it's two, but it's just one verse. It take you 10, 15 seconds to read it. And she's posting it in Telegram. And what I'm asking you to do is when you see that verse of the day, read it. Consider what the Lord is saying to you that day through that verse and give her a thumbs up or some emoji on it. You don't even have to comment on it. But you know what? We have, you know, over 1,000 people in our chat channel, or I forget how many, over 1,000 in Digs. I forget how many in chat. Maybe it's 500, 600. I don't know. But she should have hundreds of likes. And that way you're saying to me and to your brothers and sisters in the Right On community that I'm reading the Word of God, that I'm there with you. Would you do that? Would you participate? Please step forward as a servant of God. And she's just going to post it every single day. Just look for that. Hit thumbs up or whatever emoji you want. If you want to comment, you're welcome. That's awesome. But you don't have to. So literally, I'm asking for 15 seconds of your time for you to spend reading the Word of God. Is that burden too heavy? It's not. And you're going to grow by doing it. It's inspired. Come on, that had to come from God. It had to. It isn't Jeff saying, read my words. I wrote an excellent expose on this. I'm not saying read that. Read the Word of God. Be the Berean. Thank you everyone for being here. Please remember that this is a community. I'm supported by the community. There's links in the description. And just as a reminder, if you're a patron subscriber or even PayPal and stuff like that, so you might get a bill. Well, you probably will, like especially from patron on Podbean, because I've got two more that just came up. People are challenging and they're saying, hey, someone's taken from my credit card, this company called the Speakers Company. Well, that's me. And I do it rather than using my personal name because there's a tax advantage and I get to keep more of the donation than I would because I have to pay tax on it, folks. So you know, corporate tax where I live is significantly less than personal tax. So I do it as the Speakers Company is me. Just please remember that if you see it on your credit card. But thank you all for supporting me. And thank you. Yes, I will pray for you. I'm going to close out in prayer. And thank you for putting a prayer in all caps and reminding me. Chronic pain. So I'll just give it a few seconds to put in any other prayer requests or testimonials. I'll read those as well. I'm certainly going to pray for that one. Hey, I mentioned on Friday, I'm probably going to do somewhat of a joke show on the eclipse, just because I got an idea that I thought is worth putting out. But I'm going to do a show on the eclipse as well. I've really been looking at it and looking at what other people are saying about it. And I really believe that God has spoken to me really clearly about this. But there's one nuance that I'm waiting to hear about. It's something that's been put in my mind, but I want to see if there's confirmation of this particular worldly thing that would happen alongside of it. But I, as far as the biblical message, it's 100% clear to me. So I'm going to be talking about that as well. So just bear in mind, I might do one kind of joke show and then a real one before the actual solar eclipse, which is a bit of a big deal this time. And just speaking of which, I'm killing time while I'm waiting for people to put prayers in chat. Only a couple seconds. EMPShield.com. Use coupon code ROR. Look, trust in the Lord, but sometimes the Lord, you know, gives you a heads up on some stuff so you can be better prepared. You know, why not protect your car? So if an EMP does hit, you know, you can go find your loved ones or something like that. You know, they might not be in walking distance. Phones probably wouldn't work. Well, they won't. Even if you had them in a Faraday bag, the towers aren't. And also, the mushrooms, what can I say? I hear this all the time. And I gave this example last week, you know, people are hurting and stuff like that. And many people who take these mushrooms and their pets experience healing. Many people. What do you got to lose? It's not like they cost a fortune. And in Canada, they're going to cost less. It's like 3 weeks away. So if you're about to put in an order in Canada, wait, because your cost is going to go down significantly. All right, just one prayer request. But I have a prayer request, and I'm going to ask you guys to pray along with this for me as well. But I'll start with prayer for Linda and her family. She's suffering chronic pain. The family is passing sickness back and forth, and she's very depressed. Oh, and there's another prayer that just came in. My pay got cut in half in one of my jobs, and I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. Well, this show is for you. Jesus says, come to me. Let him take your yoke. It's not always easy to... it's easy for him. It's not always easy for you to have that kind of faith. But go to him in faith and just believe him and on his word. He promises. He promises. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you for everyone who is praying these prayers alongside of me. And Lord, although we don't always get the words as eloquent as we would like, or we don't always see the real root of the problems, Lord, that we pray for in this life, we know you do. And we know that the Holy Spirit is actually praying the proper thing. And you knew that we'd be praying. How magnificent are you, Lord? Lord, I just lift up Linda and her family. Lord, I pray relief from the pain, the chronic pain that just does not go away. Lord, I pray relief with a testimony of your goodness. Lord, even if it's just for a time, to show where it's possible. Lord, you will do what's right. I'm not advising. I'm just asking that, Lord, you show your hand and your loving goodness to Linda in the midst of her chronic pain. And Lord, I just pray that these diseases that are going back and forth through the family, Lord, I just end it, Lord, I pray. Just end it. Take that burden away from them. And Lord, I know that the servant who placed this prayer request will let them know that it was the hand of God. I don't know if they know you, but the person who put the request in does. And she will say, It was the hand of God that touched you today because of the prayers of the elect. And Father, I pray for your provision for Korkor. Lord, it's a terrible thing in the world when the world unfairly takes things away or for reasons that we don't understand, usually because of greed, Lord, so that the one who has will have more and the one who has not will have less. But Lord, you came, as you explicitly said in this chapter, you came for those who have less. So Lord, I pray for a greater gift of stewardship, Lord, to manage with what you've given as provision. And Lord, I pray for an increased faith to believe you and your word and the promises that, Lord, that if even the lilies are dressed and they're beautiful, how much more will you do it for us, the ones made in your image, the ones who you love? All right. Now, I pray for that faith to expand throughout this entire community and everyone who hears the sound of my voice, Lord, including myself. Lord, increase our faith. Oh, we also pray for her son who is showing narcissistic traits and lying. Lord, there's a spirit behind those behaviors. Lord, we pray that you send your angels to mitigate any spirits and defeat any spirits that are going after this son. Block them, Lord. Give this son a little bit of rest that he may have his thoughts in order and be able to choose you from a right mind. We also pray that these angels will minister to this son, even in the middle of the night as he sleeps, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you dispatch the right person to go and minister and to bring this son into the kingdom. Lord, it's no mistake that we are praying for him this day. So we pray by faith that you have chosen this son to be one of those to whom the kingdom is revealed. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. And lastly, Father, I just lift up my daughter to you. Lord, we're in the final stages of her pregnancy. And Lord, you're about to gift us with a beautiful new baby. I pray for that baby's health. I pray for my daughter's health. I pray for a smooth delivery. Lord, she loves you so much. She holds your word dear and serves you. Lord, I pray you honor my daughter in that and making this not that any birth is easy, Lord, but Lord, take her yoke through this. And Lord, I pray for the health of this baby. And I pray for the entire family, Lord. I pray that just everything works out in accordance to your order, Lord, in good order. Because God, you have not been a mysterious God to the ones you've revealed the mystery of God to. And Lord, you're easy to predict because you are a God of order. You are the same yesterday as you are today. And Lord, you've put your spirit inside of us so that we know you intimately and you us. Praise your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing these prayers. Thank you for answering these prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, everyone, for being here. It's a real honor to be able to do this Bible study with you. You have no idea. And for me, it's not false humility, folks. I am the least among you, honestly. I was worse than you to begin with, most likely, most of you. And when you came from way far away from God, it's just a great miracle that where I am today. But there's still some things of the word, Lord's working out in my life, as he is with you. But it's an honor to serve this community and to serve you and to bring us together. Only the Lord takes my breath away sometimes, just considering it. Hey, remember that he loves you. Be loved. Be blessed. Be the Berean and give a thumbs up when Wendy posts. And when all of you do that, it will make a difference in your Right On Radio community. God bless.